You're listening to The Big Show with George Russick.
Hockey.
Dude.
He's lubed up and ready to read text messages today.
And Matty Rose.
I've done all right up till now. It's the light of the day that shows me how. And when the light falls, loneliness calls.
Here we go. Everybody.
Oh, what a dance with somebody.
On Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Hour number two. It's The Big Show, Russick and Rose. Sportsnet 960, The Fan, powered by mortgages.go.ca. Always, always the lowest interest rates in Canada since 2004. Visit mortgages2go.ca. Bottom of the hour, Jamie Campbell, host of Blue Jay Central on Sportsnet. Jays and Royals. They're going to try to crown the Royals. Am I right?
They're a good team.
Nah, they've had an easy schedule.
You should have just left them out there to dry after that. You shouldn't have saved him.
Are they gonna
you should have just left him be. You bailed him out.
Are they going to try to commit regicide tonight, this series? The murdering of a king.
I'd like that you explained it. Thank you.
Yeah, you're
appreciate
welcome.
It.
I do like Bobby Witt Jr.
Yeah, he's a good player.
Did you know the Blue Jays have won series against the Royals in each of the last five seasons?
Yeah, I'm still sour over 2015.
No, yeah, 2015 will never change that.
Did you know
that stupid neckbeard kid
Excuse
hanging
me?
Over? Yeah, the stupid neckbeard kid who caught that home run ball over the fence. And then they interviewed him right away.
I'm still happy.
Then the
Shut
rain,
up.
The rain delay ruined them in game six.
Yep. That Jose Bautista homer to tie it. Mm. That was electric.
No American League team has had more starts of at least five innings with two earned runs or less since the start of last season than the Blue Jays.
Then Ben Revere should have had a 3-1 count.
Yeah.
Anyway, the sour still over that.
No, yeah. Jay's pitching.
It was 8 years ago.
It was 3-0, but also
yeah,
like
almost 9 years ago. Ben it's time
Revere,
to get over it.
Look who we were hoping for.
Yeah. He led the majors in hits that year when he was a Blue Jay. Ben Revere.
Yeah, it was one of the last trade deadline acquisitions they made.
He was a good player for the Blue Jays. He was there for a good time, not a long time.
God, that's you know, 10 years ago next year.
Crazy.
Did you know the Jays are 12-0 when they allow four less runs and they're 0-10 when they allow five or more runs?
Yeah.
That's interesting. And yesterday was the 8-year anniversary of Prince passing away. It's already been 8 years.
Damn.
Anyway.
Hopefully these T-Wolves going a long run.
So you know the Jays have scored 52.3% of their runs with two outs?
Huh.
That's incredible.
That's pretty
that
good.
Leads the
that's
majors.
Clutch. That's clutch hitting.
That's really good.
Yeah,
that would
should,
that did not happen last year.
You should mention all those stats to Jamie Campbell coming up.
I'm sure he got this in his inbox as well.
Probably.
Probably the same thing.
Yeah.
We could just read it back and forth to each other if you want.
So Jamie.
Did you get the same email?
Despite a couple of errors on Sunday, the Blue Jays have been outstanding defensively. Most outs above average. The Jays have 9. I don't really know how that sours.
Okay.
Jays 21-7 versus the Royals.
Yeah.
Over those 5 years.
You say Kikuchi has struck out over 35% of right-handed batters he has faced.
He's super good.
Yeah.
I love when he takes the mound. Lock of the day is already set.
Oh. And he's probably asleep because he needs his 14 hours before the start. He's a good 14-hour slumber.
Yeah.
I figure they get into Kansas City by around 8 o'clock last night or
he's
so.
He's all tucked in.
Well, they would have got there earlier because it was a getaway game, wasn't it?
Yeah, it ended around
2:40 afternoon start here.
Around like 4 local it ended.
Good God, the weather in San Diego looked gorgeous. Like, oh,
it's cool
God.
On Friday.
Yeah,
that marine layer, they talked about that marine layer being a big
it's a
deal.
It's always a thing in those West Coast games.
Yeah, Dodgers have it too.
Marine layer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
Giants.
Just comes, hangs over from the Pacific. Ball doesn't travel as far.
You got to play them during the day.
Like how we get Chinooks.
Yeah, but they get it all the time. Oakland A's, they get a lot of marine layer too.
Mm-hmm.
And they also suck. All right, so
Zing
not
got
their fault.
It's the
owner's fault.
The Calgary Flames.
It's kind of their fault. They could be better.
Had their locker cleanout day on Friday. We haven't been on the air since. Just a couple things that kind of caught our attention. Do we got the Mackenzie Weegar clip talking about black clouds?
Sure do.
In the city of Calgary?
Well, I don't necessarily have the entire thing because it's about 90 seconds long, but I got 42 seconds of it. That's the one I played in the morning report for you guys. Do you want the full unedited version of that one?
Let's just play the part where he says black clouds and about winning in Calgary and
well,
stuff.
Well, I just cut out the black cloud part, but let me see what I got for you here.
And also, and I'm going to stall for you. Also, Jacob Markstrom was a little evasive about
but
his
like going back to Uyghur, he kind of... Because he was one of the first voices to talk. He kind of took control of the situation, and he's been that voice in that room for the last few months here. Like, hey, I'm going to be here long term. It might be a bumpy road, but I'm here. I want to be here. I know he talked about the building being a big detriment on a lot of the building was brought up a lot of the time, but that's coming. And I think he's going to be a huge catalyst in this once this thing comes out of it. Man, I think he needs to have a letter permanently on that chest. He means a lot to this group.
He feels like, again, what was the talk? Rasmus Anderson, potentially the future captain? I think that narrative's kind of flipped to maybe the weak
guy. Well, Raz kind of brings it up as well. He's like, yeah, I want to be here. I'm happy here, but I'm also 28. I'm not young anymore.
Mm-hmm.
He's starting to eat that, hey, I want to win soon too.
Sure.
So him and Markstrom are kind of like, Markstrom is probably more the more brash of everybody because, of course.
You got stuff about clouds? All right, go ahead.
Part for me is... Yeah, I don't know if there's this black cloud over Calgary right now, and it's trying to find a way to shift that, to make guys want to be here again and want to play here, and that's establishing that winning culture again. And it comes down to the players and, you know, to the core pieces, you know, myself, Colsey, you know, Bax, Rass, Naz, Hubie. It starts with us, and we got great youth. They were great for us this year. They all brought something a bit different. And it's getting those guys, they got their toes wet, I think, this year. And it's getting those guys to, you know, reach the next level and push them. But for myself, you know, you got to set those standards and those expectations high again. We can't go into next year, you know, with that rebuild or that retool mindset again. It's that making that playoffs and wanting to win the Stanley Cup. It's not an easy league. I think the big talk about was the consistency, and I think that's where we have to be better is the consistency. The team was weird. We'd win four or five, and then we'd lose four or five. And if we can sort of subtract that somehow and not lose as many in a row, we'd find ourselves in a bit of a different position. But for me, it's establishing that winning culture again, and that's with character guys in the room.
I wouldn't expect him to say anything else but to potentially, you know, compete for a playoff spot, ultimately win a championship. But again, like, this organization shouldn't be going out there in this offseason and acquiring pieces just to try to get into the Stanley Cup playoffs. This should be a team that's giving a lot of young players more opportunities to kind of sink or swim. That's what they should be doing. And I appreciate what he's saying because he's a professional. He wants to win hockey games. Again, the effort was there for the Calgary Flames this season. It's just when you take away so many key pieces of the team, eventually it was just too much to overcome. And that's obviously what happened in this year's edition. I appreciate, you know, and he was right. Like, this team would go on some big runs, and then they would go on a head-scratchingly long losing streaks, and consistency was an issue for the Flames. But, yeah, that's great. I would expect guys like him to talk about playoffs and championships, but this team is in no position within the next 2, 3, even 4 years to legitimately contend for a championship. They should be giving younger guys opportunities, and that's where this organization should be going.
Yeah, I guess. But
yeah.
Yeah, you got to try and acquire high-end talent. You traded a whole bunch of it away throughout the course of the season. So,
and that's something we've been talking a lot about on this show. You need high-end skill talent on this team, and you acquire that via the draft.
They're right back where they usually are, right in the middle. They did a good job of trying to acquire some skill to go with their high-end players. Then the high-end players left, and they still have kind of all of these, like, good pieces that you'd like to have on a championship team.
Yeah.
But the sum of the parts isn't necessarily enough to get you over the hump, or we haven't seen that it's enough to get you even into the playoffs. The blue line obviously would need a ton of work. You still need to find way more goals up front. Mm-hmm. I don't know what Andrei Kuzmenko is over an 82-game season, let alone being in the postseason. And he's probably one of your more high-end scorers. Like, I appreciate everything that he said there. And you can also start establishing a winning culture before you actually do start winning.
Yep.
I think that's important as well with mm-hmm. a new GM and a new head coach and all that type of thing. And that's why I just don't see it in the cards of this team to just tank on purpose. Because I frankly don't even think that works. I think if you're bad and you end up with good picks, it helps, but tanking on purpose is like trying to choose your opponent in the postseason so you lose a couple games down the stretch. Might seem like a good idea at the time, but you're probably much more better off if that occurs organically.
Well, again, I would not be surprised if the Flames are picking in the top 10 in the next couple seasons here, unless they make some drastic changes in the offseason. And that just puts a ton of pressure on the scouting staff because you have to hit on these draft picks coming up, especially this one. We don't know what the draft lottery holds. We don't know. The Flames could hit a home run here.
6%.
Yeah, again, like, it happens. Like, the Rangers jumped to number one. They got Lafreniere. And I know you can't jump to number one anymore based on the amount of spots, but whatever.
Well, they could.
Well, the Flames can.
Yeah.
Second turn, got the first pick on Tankathon.
There you go.
Look at that.
Again, we
Took
don't
me
know.
Three when I was showing my little cousin at Ooh, dinner the other day.
There you there go. Like, we don't know where the Flames are going to pick, but it's just imperative that this draft, next year's draft, and again, we don't know what the... with the Monahan trade stuff, but this draft is about the Flames. You have to hit a home run, and you have to acquire a high-end skill player, because that's what this organization is lacking, high-end skill. That's what they need, game-breaking high-end skill. And you're right. There's a lot of great complementary pieces on this team. If Nazem Kadri is your second-line center like he was in Colorado, watch out. It's very good, right? And I know Elias Lindholm was here at the beginning of the season, and we saw Tom, and even last year, we saw him and Kadri down the middle, but also he needs two guys.
Vancouver goes on a run. He's gonna be a big part of it. Like, yesterday was maybe his most impactful game as a Canuck.
Sure, and you would hope so, because it is the playoffs that he can elevate his game. We'll see if he can continue, because he was good last night, and so was Zadorov last night. But again, if you're the Flames, those guys didn't want to be here, especially with how Zadorov handled things.
Mm-hmm.
If they could have got him out that night, they would have. Just took a little longer than maybe they wanted to. But that should be just the number one mandate of this team and this organization is go acquire as much high-end skill as possible, because that's what this team's lacking.
It feels like a silly thing to say. Every organization should try and get the best players available and the most skilled players available.
Right. But especially this team with what they currently do have. And I thought, because Francis talked about it with Ryan Leslie on their hit after locker cleanout day, that maybe finding somebody to play with Jonathan Huberto is something this organization wants to do in the offseason, which is super interesting. But at the same time, let's not sign a bad contract here, potentially.
What do you think it would be?
I don't know. I like, again, you mentioned the name.
What do you say a bad contract would be?
Somebody who's in their late 20s and you're signing them to a 5 or 6 year deal.
Why? If you're not going to be good, who cares?
Because I'd rather have younger guys in those situations to see what you really have in them. Instead of signing a veteran guy to play in your top six, I'd rather see guys like Coronado play in those spots.
Is it your top six? It's your top nine. Like, this team doesn't really have a top six, per se.
No,
and if you sign one person, are you really blocking anybody?
Well, again, Coronado's a guy that he should be playing in the top six eventually here on this team on a regular basis.
Yeah,
that's a guy I want to see. I don't know what Hanzek's going to be eventually. I don't know what he's going to be eventually either.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are some guys, like, even Pelletier's a guy I could see being a third-line player on this team once he gets over his health issues. Pospisil seems like a guy that will be a staple in the top nine moving forward here for the Calgary Flames. Connor Zary, there's another guy that you think potentially could be a top six player. Like,
there's still spots, though.
Yeah, sure. But I want to see those guys with more of a role moving forward to see what you have in them. And I don't want a veteran guy taking ice time and number one power play time away from guys like Zeri
and
Coronado.
You also want to create a little bit of competition. You don't want to hand positions to people. And I think that's part of what the year was for Matt Coronado. Look, you did good out of camp. Here's your start in the NHL. Really quickly learn that this isn't good enough. Got to go spend some time in the A and work your way back up.
Sure.
So that's something to, I guess, watch. But I wouldn't be surprised if they try and get someone with a little bit more speed or some familiarity alongside Jonathan Huberdeau. But like I said, I thought that was going to be like basically a lock. And then he went to Tampa and he's been really good there. So we'll see what happens. Especially if they decide not to sign Stamkos, all of a sudden you're like, oh, look at all this money we found.
I'd be very surprised if Stamkos leaves Tampa. I'd be surprised. Jacob Markstrom, kind of evasive on his future.
I feel like we didn't leave enough time for this, but that's
okay. We have like 3 minutes. All right, you want to play the Jacob Markstrom clip?
Well, my clips are a minute and a minute and a half long, so which one do you want?
All right, let's play the minute one.
I mean, I don't know, but you know what?
This is how Jacob Markstrom opened up his scrum. He was asked about his future in Calgary.
I mean, I don't know, but you know what I do know and what I tell you guys every day is I love winning hockey games, and you know I think that's the competitive side of me. It's that's every time I lace up the skates, that's something I urge and I want to accomplish. You want to win hockey games, and I know everyone in that locker room want to win hockey games too. So it's that's pretty much where my head is at right now. It's it's been a long season and short season, and playoff starts, what is it, tomorrow?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's something you want to be a part of, and but now you got to watch it on TV, and it's frustrating, but also you got to go home and get to go home to Sweden and spend time with the family. I've been away from my son for way too much, if you ask my wife. But that's gonna be nice and to spend some time with them.
I wouldn't expect him to say anything else at this point of his career. Wants to win games. Wants to be in the playoffs. I totally understand that. And just watching the hockey over the weekend and how teams sorely need goaltending. Namely, the Avalanche, the Maple Leafs. If you're the Calgary Flames and Jacob Markstrom, if I'm Connie, I'm just looking at my phone. I know Nick really wasn't on board with that, but maybe Tree does make the call here in the summer.
Like,
you'd be surprised.
I would not be shocked if the Leafs get swept after watching the first game of that series.
I would, of course,
explore that.
Yeah, waiting for Tree to call Connie about Jacob Markstrom.
Now, they like Joe Wall, and they also didn't do anything in this trade deadline to improve their team. So I also wonder if Tree actually thinks if he has something good here, or if this is a team that's destined to a full-blown blow-it-up type of situation. And it would be Marner that you have to trade, because they just signed the other two guys to long-term extensions, and frankly, one of them looks like a mistake. But
really, since he signed that, he's been an absolute
He's been a
joke.
Ghost. Shocker.
Well, he did have 97 points this season.
I know, but like when he was on pace for like, what, 130 at a point?
Yeah.
Like he was going to take over, and if he was going, where the hell would the Leafs would be?
And you can look at the split, George.
Yeah.
It's
a drastic split night and day.
But he's also been, even last postseason, he was their best player in the postseason.
And now he's got a mystery ailment.
Now he got paid.
I know. Again, there's a lot of guys like William Nylander in the league.
Your boy Mitch Marner is going to get thrown out of that city because of William Nylander.
It's not his fault.
Maybe.
It's not his fault, but
no, maybe.
If they're going to make a change, what's it going to be?
And like I said, for some reason, he's always the scapegoat.
Yep.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. But you just look
you
at the goaltending
this weekend. $10 million guys and have both of them not going. One of them's going to take the flack.
Again,
they've got three of them right now.
Three of them, sorry.
We talked about it last week. Like we saw the last, I think, start of Jacob Markstrom as a Calgary Flame. I would be shocked if he's on this
again
team.
He can control a lot of this too, with how, where he wants to go, and it feels like he wanted to go to one place only.
But listening to him,
there's only one place that really wanted him that bad.
Yeah, that's fair
at the point.
But, But at the same time, just listening to him and talking about the distractions and how he just wanted to play hockey, I just feel like he's a guy that just wants to get this done this summer, and then he can just focus on playing in his new city.
The clip we didn't have time to get to is more about what happened with management and why he called them out in the middle of the season. And frankly, I think a lot of his reasons are pretty ridiculous.
You know what? Let's get to that clip with Brent Kron coming up at 8 o'clock.
Yeah,
let's get Kron's opinion on that, because I think Jacob Markstrom, in my opinion, and again, I don't have this.
You play in the NHL, dude. People are going to talk about you when you're a good goalie on a bad team.
That's how it works. That's exactly the getaway I was taking.
And if you want to be mad about the Flames, they didn't even leak it. It was the other side. Get the hell out of here with that.
Yeah. And you also make $6 million a year and you're a professional athlete. That's what you signed up for.
Yeah. Maybe figure it out.
Yeah. That's what you signed up for. All right. We'll talk to more about Jacob Markstrom with Brent Kron coming up at the top of the hour. Jamie Campbell on the Blue Jays starting a series with the Royals. Dalton Varsho looking good. The pitching looks incredibly good. And then Vladdy continues to be super frustrating. We'll talk to Jamie Campbell next. And we got some tickets to give away. It's the Big Show, Russick and Rose, Sportsnet 960, The Fan. It's the Big Show, Russick and Rose, Sportsnet 960, The Fan, powered by MortgagesToGo.ca. Always the lowest interest rates in Canada since 2004. Visit MortgagesToGo.ca. Top of the hour, Big Show Flames analyst, the solution snake, the Cobra himself, Mr. Brent Kron in studio. We'll play that second clip we didn't get to about Jacob Markstrom, about the whole getting traded thing and not getting traded thing. We'll talk about that coming up. And Jake Allen talking about triangles. We'll get to that too with Brent Kron. And we got some tickets to give away. Lots still to do, but right now the Blue Jays kick off a series in Kansas City against the Royals to talk about that. The host of Blue Jays Central on Sportsnet on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. We say good morning to Jamie Campbell. Hello, sir. How are you?
Good morning, George.
It's good to hear from you, Jamie. Jamie, why am I still sour about 2015 in the Kansas City Royals? I just still can't get over it.
You got to get over that.
Okay. And the kid with the neck beard, Jamie, the kid with the neck beard too, I still can't get over it.
You're talking to a guy that lives in Toronto. Do you know how long it's been since the hockey team won anything here?
Oh, I'm aware.
Yeah.
I'm well aware.
So time to get over it.
Okay. All right. The pitching continues to be incredible for the Toronto Blue Jays. Jose Berríos, if they gave a Cy Young award away in the first 3 weeks of the season, I don't think there's any question that guy's winning it.
I would agree with that. And I think a Canadian would win the American League MVP, and Josh Naylor, who's just on fire in Cleveland. But, what a great thing to see from, Jose Berríos. He's the pitcher that the Blue Jays had hoped to get when they made that deal, 2.5 years ago. And it's clear that he's made some alterations to his delivery, his pitch selection, his placement on the pitching rubber. He's just proven to be wildly consistent. On a personal level, such a generous, caring man he and I spent some time together this winter in Saskatchewan, and he was hoping to do some snowmobiling while he was there. But unfortunately, it was plus 12 in February. And I know, warm weather rolls through Calgary at the oddest of times, so you guys would be used to that. But just a tremendous person. And obviously an all-star caliber, if not Cy Young caliber pitcher, at least right now.
Who's been more surprising on the mound over the past year and a bit, him or Yusei Kikuchi?
That's a great question. Kikuchi's first year with the Blue Jays was a dismal failure. And there were lot of people wondering,
I mean,
let's be honest.
Yep. Yep.
But he's more than made up for it. So I don't know if I think you would have to give that nod to Kikuchi simply because Berríos arrived in town with a greater track record and a bigger resume. Kikuchi has done his share of work in turning his situation around as well. And when you really think about it, it's a wealth of riches right now. I mean, you've got a guy who 2 years ago was an all-star and finished third in Cy Young voting, fighting in Triple A to prove that he's capable of being part of a major league staff in Alec Manoa, because the riches in the rotation right now are so bountiful. And that's quite something, given how, you know, across the major leagues, we've seen people like Garrett Cole go down in New York and Shane Bieber go down in Cleveland. Not that it's affected those teams. They both lead their respective divisions. But the Blue Jays, you know, other than Manoa's failings and regression, really haven't had to deal with anything of significance, save for the fact that it took Kevin Gausman a little while to get going. He's still not where he needs to be. But I think, you know, fans of the Blue Jays, wherever they come from in this country, are blessed by consistent and reasonably healthy starting pitching.
Kikuchi expected to get the ball today, but I'm a little bit worried with the trip. Do you think he was able to get his 14 hours of sleep last night?
You know what, Matt? I only got 4 hours of sleep last night.
Oh, no.
I'm feeling just
That's not enough.
I'm feeling just fine. So, I wouldn't believe everything that you say, Kikuchi. He's a fascinating individual, and I think he sometimes says something just to get a rise.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the old days. You brought up 2015 and 2016 when the guys on the club who spoke the language very well taught Munenori Kawasaki how to say bush party.
Yeah. Yep.
And he, you know, it's the only thing he would say for about a 6 month stretch. And I think that Yusei's got that sense of humor that, that you don't really get to enjoy because he's so fluently Japanese and still hasn't mastered the English language, but he's getting there. I can tell you right now, he is getting there, and it's wonderful to see.
Yeah, and a taste for fine whiskey as well. Just a fun story to watch all year so far. I wanted to ask you about Dalton Varsho and this hot streak that we're seeing. Is this something that he can maintain? Do you think that he can maintain it to a lowered level? What are we seeing here from Dalton Varsho?
I believe he can maintain it based on the experts who I speak to, notably Caleb Joseph and Joe Siddle, who have always complained that Varsho has this very, or at least did, loopy swing, which, you know, to simplify things, put his bat plane under most pitches, especially high fastballs. And he has leveled it out somehow, some way. We were discussing it on Blue Jay Central yesterday, whether that is a personal recognition of him needing to figure it out, whether it was something Don Mattingly took him aside with and suggested he work on, whether it was the influence of Justin Turner, who knows, but that he's made the adjustment and that it's paid off in the way that it has. I think he has 5 home runs in his last 8 games, and he's really starting to look like the player that they wanted to get when they made that deal with Arizona. And, you know, the poor guy, I mean, the number of people that follow this club for the last year and change that have rued that deal, given the success of Gabriel Moreno in Arizona, it is so nice to see that there's payoff on the other end, at least now. Whether it lasts, we don't know. That's up to Dalton Varsho, but he plays. I mean, I hate to trot out this cliche. He plays the game the right way. I never see him not run hard. I never see him not willing to crash into a wall to make a catch. Smart base runner, overall smart player, probably came from the fact that he was raised by a major leaguer. I'm starting to really like that kid.
Jamie Campbell's the host of Blue Jay Central on Sportsnet, joining us here on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline, Big Show, Russick and Rose, 960 The Fan. How tough is it to watch Vlad Guerrero Jr. on a daily basis as close as you do? Because we see the flashes of just incredible home runs and and the way he hits the ball hard. And if I hear another StatCast thing on how he's top five in hard hit balls, it just drives me bananas, Jamie. And then you see bad approach at the plate. Guys like, you know, Kevin Barker constantly talking about it on Blue Jays Talk, and Blair and Barker. Like, just the inconsistencies with the guy, Jamie, that should be the linchpin of the franchise by this point. How do you deal, excuse me, with covering Vlad Guerrero Jr. on a daily basis?
Well, George, you say all those things, and then you see my friend Chris Black last night posted an updated OPS standings for the Blue Jays, and Vladdy's fourth, and he's ahead of people like George Springer and Bo Bichette. And what it does is it rights you a little bit because as much as he's not what we want him to be, he's still above average, which is absolutely remarkable. I think the reason he's so frustrating to watch is because we've seen what he's capable of being when, you know, he challenged Ohtani for the MVP 2 years ago. I mean, this guy is capable of being a 40-plus home run hitter, a 115 to 120 RBI run producer, a reasonably high batting average, and you'll have to pardon me for trotting out average because I know I'm well above the age of 50 and love to do that every now and then. He's still, and let's not forget, he is among the finest defensive first basemen in the game right now. So, yes, frustrating because we're not seeing everything he's capable of doing, but I still stop when he comes to the plate because I don't know what he's capable of.
Yeah.
You know, I freeze. I mean, there are some guys I don't mind taking bathroom breaks when, I don't know, George Springer's at the plate, but when Vladdy Guerrero's at the plate,
right,
I'm watching because he could hit it. He could hit the ball 8 miles, and we all know that. It's just that sometimes with, you know, a couple of guys in scoring position, he hits the ball into the ground at 110 miles an hour, and it sneaks through for a single. It produces two runs, which he did the other day. And we walk away going, why couldn't he hit it to Mars? So, fascinating. I'm totally fascinated by who he is now, because what I'd love to see, obviously, is an elite player. We're not seeing it yet, but it's in there somewhere.
Is that why it's so frustrating? Because when he was coming in, he was supposed to be Miguel Cabrera. He was supposed to be Albert Pujols, and it doesn't help what his last name is.
Was he, though, right?
He was. You know, he was, Jamie. That was the talk, right? When he was 16, 17, this is going to be the next generational right-handed bat in Major League Baseball. When he was having more walks than strikeouts in the minor leagues, it's like, wait till he gets to the major leagues. This kid's going to be a terror. And like we saw it, George, in 2021.
You and Matt know this, right? And it doesn't matter what sport you're dealing in. We were laughing the other day about a kid named Joey Bart, who is now with the Pittsburgh Pirates, was the second overall pick in the draft a few years ago by the Giants. He was supposed to be Buster Posey's heir apparent. And we laugh at the fact that teams will go out of their way to add great flavor to every prospect they have, knowing that there's an excellent chance that that prospect will never become a first-line Major League Baseball player if they become a Major League Baseball player at all. And all those trades that the Blue Jays made back in 2015 to turn themselves into a playoff team, of all the prospects they sent away to get whoever, David Price, Troy Tulowitzki, the only one that became even a reasonable major leaguer was a pitcher named Matt Boyd. Mm-hmm. And I love how teams, for their own benefit, will stir up interest in prospects without really knowing exactly who they are. And you know, of course, Vladdy's got this prodigious ability to hit a baseball, very similar to his father. But we haven't seen it in its full maturity, and we might not. And if that's the case, that's a disappointment. I still think it's coming around. I think there's a reason they haven't offered him one of those, you know, Fernando Tatis Jr. type contracts yet. It's because they haven't seen it consistently. So you know, he's going to be a free agent at the end of next year. And a lot of what happens this year will determine whether or not the Blue Jays want him manning first base for years to come.
What have you made of what we've seen from the bullpen here? As Swanson kind of settles in, maybe a little bit bumpy coming off the IL here, but Jordan Romano has looked good and just dialed in like he always is. What have you made of the bullpen the last little bit here?
It's touch and go. Mm-hmm. By name, it's a dominant bullpen as we speak. But as we saw yesterday in San Diego, you know, after he got called up, at the time that Nate Pearson, for example, got demoted to AAA, the only reason he was sent down is because he had options. And, you know, it wasn't based on performance. He had a zero ERA at the time of his demotion. And then he comes back up and he looked like the Nate Pearson that we're accustomed to seeing yesterday when he walked a bunch of batters and hit a batter. And the Padres ended up scoring an additional two runs in what was a tight ball game. It wasn't tight after Pearson's performance. But that's relief pitching. So I think we need to be a little bit patient with Swanson. We need to be a little bit patient with Romano to let them find their legs. Jimmy Garcia has been otherworldly. And what you're seeing is that even though the quote-unquote closer has come back, Garcia is, as I like to say, he's trying to save games in the seventh or eighth inning by facing the heart of the order sometimes. So all in all, I think the outlook on this bullpen is exceptional. I think we have to wait for, in particular, Swanson and Romano just to find their form before it becomes really good.
Aurelvis Martinez is having himself, I would say a season, but he had himself quite the weekend down in Cleveland as well. 15 games now up that hit streak. He's got, three home runs over the weekend?
Yep.
He was outstanding. When are we going to see him up with the big club, or is this somewhere where he can kind of hang out for a little bit?
I think he needs to hang out for a little while because there's no positional place for him right now. Look at the way the Blue Jays Major League roster is constructed right now. They have guys who aren't playing every day who probably should be or would be on half the other teams in the major leagues. Davis Schneider doesn't play every day. For a while, Darton Varsho wasn't either. Ernie Clement isn't. Kevin Biggio is having another terrific year. He doesn't play every day. So positionally, and Aurelvis isn't a standout defensively in any position, so I don't think there's a spot for him right now. They'll remember what he's doing, believe me. And if a spot is created by way of injury, I don't think you can hold that kind of power down. There is a lot of swing and miss there, but I think you're definitely going to see him at the major league level at some time this year. I just can't predict when that's going to be.
For those of us who haven't been to the park yet since the renovations, what does it look like, Jamie?
It looks like an old structure that's got a wonderful facelift. It's perfectly located. George, I know you've been there many times. Matt, I don't know how many times you've been there, but, you know, there's really no need to move the Blue Jays home to a suburb. It's perfectly located. So they did what they had to do. And instead of tearing it down and rebuilding somewhere else, they've overhauled it. It's clear the ball is not flying. I find this one fascinating. The ball is not leaving the park as easily as it used to. I don't know if that's part of the structural design. I don't know if that's part of some fancy wind tunnel type of scenario they've mm-hmm. developed to keep offense down. The Blue Jays are not designed to be a home run hitting team, and maybe they've enacted some kind of home field advantage in that regard.
Like the Twins did at the Metrodome with the air conditioning, Jamie?
For sure, yeah. Like the Yankees have done since, 19, whenever they built the first Yankee Stadium in the 1922, I think it was, when they made a very short porch in right field to help left-handed batters like, Juan Soto and Babe Ruth. Mm-hmm. So, it's a beautiful place. I can't tell you that I've roamed it and been at the bars and had cocktails and watched from different perspectives, because I work every time I'm there and I'm situated at a very particular place and I never leave. So, you know, one day in retirement, I'm sure I'll be up in the outfield somewhere having a cocktail, watching a ball game.
Looks damn good. Jamie, always a pleasure. Enjoy the series against the Royals, and I'll try to get over 2015. Thanks for this.
Do that, George. Thanks for having me, guys. All
right. There is Jamie Campbell, host of Blue Jay Central on Sportsnet. Damn that neckbeard kid.
Whatever his name was.
Yeah. See that guy in hell. Catching that ball. 3-1 call on Ben Revere. Should have won the World Series. You're the best team in baseball that year. Should have won the World Series.
I go back to game
they
two.
They got BABIP to death by the Royals.
They had a 3-0 lead against them.
They would have crushed the Mets in the World Series. Dude.
Oh,
like
easily.
Grape.
Would you rather get BABIP'd or would you rather pull Jose Barrios when he's cruising?
Yeah, oh, no, but that's two different things, right?
I know. That's why I asked. Yeah, what would you rather?
I'd rather pull Jose.
I'd rather pull Jose Barrios. Because the khakis said. The khakis weren't running the show back in 2015.
Whose decision that was? Did we ever? It felt like it was John Schneider.
That was when Ross Atkins threw him under the bus.
Yeah, that's what it was.
It was his. It was his decision.
It was. Great. Excellent.
It was great.
Good. Functional organization. Good.
You know how I'm not a big fan of Dalton Varsho, but you got to give credit where credit's due.
He's cooking right now. Guy's on a heater right now.
The other part of his game is coming along, and this is kind of what he did in his last year in Arizona. He was hitting the ball well.
Yeah, but Arizona, the ball flies out there, too. It's very hitter-friendly in that ballpark.
Well, they're an indoor stadium.
Highest altitude, though, in baseball.
That's fair.
That's why the ball flies out of Arizona. Well, in Colorado, they had to have the humidor.
Well, pitchers hate it.
Yeah, because before, back in the day of like Dante Bichette, Andres Galarraga, Larry
Baker
Walker,
Street bullies.
It was like hitting BBs out of that ballpark.
Baker Street. What the heck was the name of their crew that they had?
Baker Street.
Was it Baker Street?
I'm just thinking of
the song,
the saxophone song. Why don't you come back with Baker? No, Kron's coming in studio.
That's fine. Come back with Baker Street.
He'd be fine with it.
Yeah, he knows that song.
He knows a good saxophone song. Well, we got tickets to give away here. I haven't talked about this yet.
Mm-hmm.
Tune into the Big Show for your chance to win a 4-pack of tickets to watch Team Canada take on Team Japan on Saturday, May 4th at the 2024 World Para Ice Hockey Championship at Winsport. Then on Friday, one lucky listener will win the grand prize of 4 tickets to the gold medal game on May 12th. The 2024 World Para Ice Hockey Championship is an exciting and unique opportunity for fans to experience hockey on the edge. The incredible skill of the world's best players combined with the high intensity and impact of para hockey will have people on the edge of their seats May 4th to the 12th at Winsport Arena at Canada Olympic Park. Where? Right here in beautiful Calgary.
Love it. Free tickets? Sign me up. I love winning things. Is there anything better than winning things?
We also have a...
You don't think you're going to get something and all of a sudden you get something? Woohoo!
We also have a gigantic concert announcement tomorrow that we're doing on the show and we're giving away tickets.
Mm-hmm. I'm really excited.
Yeah, it's a big one.
I've seen these guys recently and they throw down.
It's a big one. And we're going to do that and we have tickets all week.
Don't want to spoil it, but yeah.
So
you're going to want to be paying attention.
What are we going to do for the tickets?
What do you want?
I want you to text in a goaltending question for Brent Cron about so far 2 nights in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Oh.
960-960. And the best question, and we'll do these at 8:30, we'll win the tickets to this.
So, like, they probably had to be watching at some point.
Yeah. Text in a question for Brent Cron. In fact, any question for Brent Cron. At 8:30, namely goaltending, but if you want to mix in another question, questions for Brent Cron at 8:30, and we'll pick the best question, and you'll win a 4-pack of tickets to watch Team Canada take on Team Japan on Saturday, May 4th. They won't be wearing
jeans. Did a little
jeans.
Crazy, hey?
Yeah, May 4th at the 2024 World Para Ice Hockey Championship at Winsport. Questions for Brent Cron at 8:30, 960-960, name and location. We pick your question, you win tickets. It's that simple. The Chronicle is next. It's Big Show, Russick and Rose, 960, The Fan.